Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. With estimates of fraud in Utah hitting the $2 billion mark, a high-ranking official of the LDS Church is speaking out at this year's Fraud College. It's an effort to educate the public against scams. And joining me now to talk about affinity fraud and the role religious connections can play in financial schemes is Brent Baker. He is the founder and director of the Fraud College Conference. We'll give you details on that happening later in the program. He's also an attorney with Clyde Snow. And Brent Baker, thanks very much for your time today.
Nice to be here, Jennifer.
Also with us, Mark Zimbelman, an accounting professor at BYU, and he's received 4 different fellowship awards, has served on the editorial board of the Accounting Review. And Professor, thanks very much for your time today.
It's good to be here.
If you know someone who's been scammed by a ward member or a fellow parishioner, give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Brent Baker, I want to start with you. The FBI has labeled Salt Lake City as one of the top 5 places for fraud. And give us a sense of the extent of the problem here in this state.
Well, I'll give you, I just spoke with a special agent at the FBI in the last week who said that the fraud number, again, is in excess of $2 billion this year. The one year I looked at recently was the year 2010. And the year 2010 is when they got very serious about compiling that statistic or that number for Utah. And the number then was $1.4 billion. Well, to put it in perspective, I went to the Utah Ski Association website to find out the amount of revenue the state brings in from its prestigious ski industry. The number is surprising. So $1.4 billion in fraud losses, the ski industry brings in $1.2 billion. So essentially, in this state, we are netting out our ski industry with fraud.
Not a good sign. Mark Zimbelman, define what affinity fraud is for us. It's groups of people who have common interests. Is it just churches?
No, it can be all sorts of organizations. There's been affinity fraud in cultural groups, Haitians. In Florida a few years ago, were subject to a large affinity fraud that the SEC prosecuted. It's whenever there's a group of people that have a common bond, they end up trusting each other. People come in that have a propensity for fraud and take advantage of that trust.
I'm thinking of huge fraud schemes. Bernie Madoff, other Christian sects have seen this. There's a piece in the current issue of The Economist that says affinity fraud is really a global problem. But why are religious groups so vulnerable? Mark Zimbelman?
I think the main reason is because of the trust factor. When you're in a religious group and you see people that have your common beliefs, you believe that you're living a righteous life, so to speak, and you end up trusting them, especially if they become leaders in the organization, or a leader has some association with the fraud perpetrator and can, you know, recommend him or her. That trust is easily passed on.
Are there particular issues with the Mormon dynamic here? About 60% of Utah's population belongs to the LDS Church. How is fraud happening in wards and stakes here locally? Brent Baker.
Well, I actually I think that we here in Utah, as Professor Zimbelman said, this isn't a problem that's specific to the LDS Church, nor is it specific to religion in general. But in Utah, we do have the perfect petri dish. We have all the right ingredients to grow this fraud bacteria. We have a very trusting community. We have basic tenet in, frankly, Christianity in general is that and Mark, as Immelman alluded to this as well, and that is if you are righteous, you will be blessed with riches. The scriptures are replete with references to that. What they don't understand is those riches may not be monetary riches. Mm. And that goes way back to the reformers at the end of the Dark Ages. So you've got the trust in community, these basic religious tenets, and then you've got this constantly refreshing workforce, and that is the LDS missionaries who are returning each week from doing 2 years of voluntary, you know, Christian humanitarian service. And in this economy, it's tough to get a job. And so oftentimes they're being recruited either inadvertently or knowingly into being participants in these schemes.
Mm-hmm. Brent Baker, he is the founder and director of the Fraud College Conference that is happening this Thursday. We'll give you more details on that in a bit. Also with us, Mark Zimbelman, a professor of accounting at BYU, and we're talking about affinity fraud, particularly here in the state of Utah. If you have been a victim or if you've seen someone who has been, give us a call. Tell us your story, 801-355-8255, or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Back to the fraud that's being perpetuated here through these networks, religious networks, or whatever kind of network. Who are the victims that we're seeing here in the state of Utah? Mark Zimbelman?
Well, a lot of times the victims are members of the church, and, it's not just Utah, it's outside of Utah. Victims of affinity fraud are members of the organization that the affinity is represented by. So it might be ward members, it might be stake members, it may be people throughout the state who had heard about the investment opportunity, so to speak.
Is it young? Is it old? Is it men? Is it women?
Well, I think it's spread around. I don't know if I have a good demographic for you, but there's definitely some of the older population, retired. I've had people come up to me at the last fraud college and tell me their story. It was a retired couple who basically put all their retirement savings into an investment, and it turned out to be a fraud, and they lost everything. You know, so it's tragic when it happens. The fraud perpetrators do leave a lot of pain and suffering in their wake, so to speak.
Brent Baker, older people particularly susceptible, or can it be any of us who are duped into a get-rich scheme?
It can be any of us. I think the reason it seems especially apparent in the older population is because those people have their nest egg, their savings already accumulated. But I've seen schemes involving people who were preying on students and their student loan proceeds. I've seen professional athletes targeted. I think I saw this morning I saw a headline that involved a large synagogue in the southeast somewhere. So it really cuts across the full spectrum.
Does it say it's something about us, though, as investors? Are we just naive? Are we desperate for money? Is this tied to our economic recession, Mark Zimbelman?
I think there is definitely some naivety. Brent and I was just talking, one of the true tests is whether the investment meets common sense rules of risk and reward. A tenet in finance is that if you have a high return, you have high risk. And so most of the time, these fraud schemes, these investment opportunities, promise high risk or high return with low risk. And that can be 20%, 30%, or higher. It can be 800%. You know, there's all sorts of them. But anytime you get about, in the teens in this economy, you have to have a lot of risk. And if they're promising, no, steady guaranteed returns at 12, 15% or 20%, I would be very, very skeptical of it. And anything above that, I would just flat out say it's got to be a Ponzi scheme, pretty much. One other thought, you asked who the victims are. Interestingly, a lot of times victims are also include professionals such as dentists and doctors and so forth who may not, they have a lot of disposable income. They want to make investments. They know they need to invest their money, but they don't perhaps have a lot of savvy in terms of investments. They don't understand risk and return, I suppose, or maybe they just trust others too much and to invest their money with them.
Mark Zimbelman, he's an accounting professor at Brigham Young University, also with us Brent Baker, a securities attorney and an organizer of the Fraud College. Brent Baker, you've been operating this Fraud College as a way to educate the public for a couple of years now. This is the first year that a high-ranking official from the LDS Church will be participating. Why do you think he's coming now?
That's a good question, because it's not as if the LDS Church has been sitting sort of sheepishly by and not doing anything. They certainly have been telling their congregations for a long time that they needed to be wise in making investment decisions, and they needed to be honest in their business dealings. And I even recall a letter that was read over the pulpit a couple of years ago. But for those of us who practice in this area, we see that the affinity frauds are not slowing down. I don't think they're cyclical. I don't think they're related to the ebbs and flows of the economy. And it's time. And to its credit, the LDS Church contacted me this time and said, we want to have a stronger participation. It's not as if I were pestering them. So I think they finally realized, with most major issues, that now's the time.
Michael Otterson, who is the managing director of public affairs for the LDS Church, will be speaking later this week at your conference. What's he going to say, Brent Baker?
Well, I can tell you what I hope he's going to say. I hope he's going to tell the community that these types of white-collar frauds, these type of affinity frauds in particular, are not just a very serious violation of the law, which can result in you know, very serious sanctions, including loss of your liberty, jail time. But he's also hopefully going to say that they are also a sin that might require very serious steps towards repentance. So those two things I hope he's going to say at least.
One of the candidates for Utah Attorney General, Sean Reyes, wants to set up a fraud registry similar to a sex offender registry. Mark Zimbelman, would that work? Do you think that would keep people at least aware of who is out there, who has been convicted of a fraud scheme?
I think it's a great idea, to be honest with you. I'd love to see that sort of thing be put together, and so that people can be aware of the background of individuals who are perpetrating a fraud. And a lot of times these are repeat offenders. They've done it before, and they'll come into a new community and do it again. And I like the idea. I don't know what the downsides are, to be honest with you. Maybe Brent has some other thoughts.
I think it's an interesting idea, one that we need to explore. And there are certainly, even now, many tools available for folks who are doing their own, who are trying to be their own first line of defense against this kind of fraud. The groups that really understand how important education is, groups like the Utah State Division of Securities, they have a very good website. You can actually search their database of offenders. The group that regulates stockbrokers, it's called FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. They also have a great website that will allow you to search registered professionals, stockbrokers, investment advisors. So there are some tools out there, but obviously not enough.
Brent Baker, founder and director of the Fraud College. Brent, thanks for your time. Mark Zimbelman, accounting professor at BYU, and thanks to you as well. The next Fraud College will be held this Wednesday from 8 to noon at the University of Utah. More information is on our website, kcpw.org. City Views is a production of KCPW News. Next time, Chocolate 101. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.